Is it possible the big job creation number tomorrow comes in at zero, as in nada or niente? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Tomorrow, it's the release of the government's big employment and unemployment report for September. While the unemployment rate may not move much, there's an instructive possibility it might show no job creation at all last month. It was up by 150,000 in August. Not all economists agree, predicting anemic growth of about 100,000 as the consensus. But economist Diane Swonk at DS Economics in Chicago is one of those who think Hurricane Harvey and Irma will cancel out gains elsewhere.
I'm expecting the job creation number to be zero. We've created about 175,000 jobs a month this year. That's down a little bit from last year, but still a healthy number. But that probably is at least the number that were disrupted, most notably in Florida, up and down the coast, in tourism areas. These are a lot of leisure and hospitality workers, workers in retail. We had many, many stores that were just literally closed. It could even turn negative for a month, and then we'll see a big bounce back, if not in October, but in November. Something similar happened in the wake of Katrina, where you disrupted a lot of activity, particularly in a high tourism area, and then it bounced back within the next couple of months.
If this does happen tomorrow, it will be the first time job creation has totally stalled out in America in 7 years. Hurricane Maria came late enough in the month. Its effects will be seen in the data a month from now. Several states this week announced what they'll be charging in 2018 for health insurance on the Obamacare exchanges. Biggest hikes so far, Georgia, with rates that are up 57% in some cases. Florida, it's as much as 45%. But wait for the paradox. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein at our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia reports that for some consumers, this could mean better deals.
Here's the thing to know. The subsidy that helps cover insurance premiums depends on income and the cost of silver plans in a person's region. And since the prices of some of those silver plans are spiking, the subsidy will be bigger this fall. The Kaiser Family Foundation's Larry Levitt says that extra money means consumers could shop for more than just the silver plans.
If instead you use it to buy into a bronze plan with a higher deductible or a gold plan with a lower deductible, there could be some great deals out there.
One question, will consumers even know about the bigger subsidies? The Trump administration slashed its ACA outreach budget 90%. Former healthcare.gov chief marketing officer Josh Peck says the new advocacy group he's with, Get America Covered, says the message doesn't change.
The line that we've used for the last 3 years has effectively stayed the same, which is that most consumers can find plans for between $50 to $100.
While this may be good news for individual consumers, the bigger subsidies means more tax money going to fund Obamacare. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
PepsiCo reported slightly better than expected profits this week thanks to the snack side of its business. Sales in its core business, ingestible liquids, actually dropped. Soda consumption in the U.S. is down overall, given campaigns against obesity and pushes toward healthier lifestyles. But listen to the kind of soda Americans are ditching the fastest. Diet soda, or pop if you prefer. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Diet soda was actually invented in the 1950s by a guy who ran a New York hospital and wanted a sugar-free option for diabetic patients. He used artificial sweeteners called cyclamates.
A hospital was quite a narrow market, so fairly soon after, he started selling it in New York grocery stores.
Tristan Donovan wrote a book called Fizz, How Soda Shook Up the World. He says in the 60s, the big soda companies launched diet brands and cracked open the mainstream market.
There was a lot of money spent pushing diet soda, marketing them to women, to housewives. They weren't bothering with marketing to men.
No kidding. When Coca-Cola launched Tab in 1963, the company sold it as a way to watch your waistline and impress dudes.
Tab can help you stay in his mind. It's sugar-free, and it tastes better than any diet cola.
The next year, Diet Pepsi launched with the same approach.
The girls, girl watchers watch. Drink Diet Pepsi Cola with only one calorie. Diet Pepsi. Try it. Someone will be watching.
By the mid-60s, about 15% of soda sales were diet. Then cyclamates were linked to cancer in some studies, and the FDA banned them. The market collapsed. Companies tried switching to saccharin, then aspartame, which was used in a new brand launched in 1982, Diet Coke. You're gonna drink it just for the taste of it. People did drink it. By the end of 1983, Diet Coke was the top diet drink in the country. Demand for diet drinks surged, peaking in 2006. But since then, diet soda sales have dropped more than 30%. That's because there's been some negative evidence diet sodas can mess up your metabolism, says Tufts food economist William Masters, and because the trend is toward natural ingredients.
Clean food, food that has only ingredients you can pronounce.
Masters says dieting in general is out of fashion, seen as temporary deprivation rather than forming healthy eating habits for life.
If I were naming diet soda today, I would not call it diet soda, and I think plenty of companies are doing that.
The latest iterations of low-calorie cola are now called Coke Zero Sugar and Pepsi Zero Sugar, although they both still use pretty much the same ingredients as the Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi next to them on the shelves. Master says these marketing moves are just stopgaps for the soda industry.
Over time, the very idea of low-calorie sweetness might fade as something that anyone is even looking for.
That's why soda companies are doubling down on drinks like water, juice, and tea, hoping to keep the business of those ditching diet drinks for good. In Los Angeles, I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
I'm watching crude oil up 1% in New York, $50.49 a barrel, with signs that Saudi Arabia and Russia might limit oil production next year. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.